Title: Reverse Splash Fills from Spring Reverb Captures Advanced. Alright, welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson for drum and bass and jungle, and we're building one of those sneaky, high-impact transitions that instantly makes your groove feel more produced. We're making reverse splash fills, but not the usual smooth reversed hall reverb. This is the gritty, metallic, slightly chaotic spring vibe. The sound is basically a suction effect that pulls you into a snare, a crash, or the drop. It's that inhale then wham moment. And the key is, we're going to capture it as audio, reverse it, and shape it so it's tempo-locked and mix-friendly in a busy 174 BPM roller. By the end, you'll have a repeatable workflow and basically your own reverse spring splash rack you can reuse in every project. First, big picture. This effect only works if it's treated like a lead-in event, not as ambience. Think of it like a transient that happens before the transient. It needs a clear end point. If your reverse splash doesn't feel like it's pointing directly at the snare, it's too long, too washy, or too loud in the wrong frequencies. Step 1. Choose the source hit. This matters more than people think. You want a short, bright transient that will excite the spring. In drum and bass, great options are a rimshot tick, a tight snare click, a closed hat, a short crash stab, or even a pure click you generate in operator. The shorter the source, the more the reverb tail becomes the instrument. If your source hit is long and noisy, the reverse fill will turn into a cloudy mess. So create a MIDI track or an audio track with a one-shot. Put your hit on beat 4 of the bar for now, because that's the classic lead-in position. We'll reposition later, but beat 4 is a good starting point to print and audition. Now step 2. Build a springish reverb using stock devices. Ableton doesn't hand you a spring reverb algorithm, so we fake the character. The spring vibe comes from resonant modes, metallic grain and slightly low diffusion, so we're going to combine a reverb with resonators and a bit of texture. Here's the chord chain. You can put it directly on the hit track, but honestly, the most jungle-accurate way is to put this on a return track, set it to fully wet, and send hits into it. That way, when we capture audio, we can print wet only and skip a bunch of annoying editing later. Start with hybrid reverb. Set it to algorithmic mode. Use plate for a clean metallic sheen, or chamber if you want it boxier and more roomy dub. Set decay somewhere like 1.2 to 2.8 seconds. But here's the trap. For drum and bass, you almost always want shorter than you think. Long tails step on percussion detail. Pre-delay. Keep it tiny, like 0 to 8 milliseconds. We want it snappy, not a separated echo. Size around 15 to 35%. Diffusion around 30 to 60%. And remember, lower diffusion tends to feel more springy and sippy. Then do some cleanup inside the reverb. Low cut around 180 to 400 Hz, and a high cut around 6 to 10 kHz so it doesn't turn into fizzy sandpaper. Next, add resonator after the reverb. This is where the boing modes come from. Start in mode I. Keep dry slash wet modest, like 15 to 35%. Tune 2 or 3 resonators to notes that make sense for DNB keys. F, F sharp, and G are common territory, but the real pro move is to think about the role of the tuning. If you tune to the root, it can get note-y and obvious, especially in a dense mix. If you tune to the fifth, it gives you lift and tension without sounding like a melody. If you tune to the octave, you get weight without feeling like you added a new chord. So pick based on what the track needs, not just what key am I in. After resonator, add erosion. Set it to noise mode. Frequency around 3 to 8 kHz. Amount should be tiny. Think 0.2 up to maybe 1.5. Small changes make a big difference. Width high, around 0.7 to 1.0. This gives you that metallic grain, like little shards of texture. Then EQ 8 to shape it like an FX element. High pass pretty aggressively somewhere in the 250 to 500 Hz zone. If it pokes in the presence range, do a small bell cut around 2 to 4 kHz. If it's brittle, gently shelf down above 10 or 12 kHz. And finally, add a saturator. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. Optionally use the analog clip curve if you want it to feel more hardware-like. The saturation helps the splash read in the mix without you having to just turn it up. Quick sound design bonus. If you want it even more authentic, put a very subtle comb filter-ish effect before the reverb capture. Corpus can do this, or even a gentle phaser flanger. Keep it subtle. You're aiming for resonant notches that mimic how springs ring, not a noticeable sweep. Cool. Now step 3. Capture the spring tail cleanly. This is the moment that separates messy audio hacking from a clean pro workflow. Ideally, we print wet only. So here's the easiest method. Put that whole spring chain on a return track. Make sure the chain is 100% wet. Then create a new audio track called Springprint. Set audio from to resampling, arm it, and solo only the return track while you record. Record a few hits with lots of space after them, like 2 to 4 bars. When you stop recording, you want a clip that is basically just a springy tail with no dry transient, or at least minimal transient. Wet-only printing makes the next step painless. If you already printed with the transient in there, it's not the end of the world. You'll just do a tiny bit more editing. Step 4. Isolate the tail. Open the printed audio clip, zoom in, and split right after the transient. Delete the transient portion so you keep only the reverb tail. Add a short fade in to avoid clicks. And here's a coach tip. Don't be afraid to make the fade in longer than you think, like 10 to 30 milliseconds, if the reverse later starts sounding spitty or scratchy. This is one of those mastering engineer moves that stops you from overcompressing later. Also, set clip gain now, before you add processing. Aim for the reversed clip to peak somewhere around -12 to -6 dB/fs. Give yourself headroom. These fills feel better when they're controlled. Step 5. Reverse it and make it tempo tight. Select the tail clip, hit reverse in clip view. Now turn warp on. For warp mode, Complex Pro is the safe choice for dense tails. If you want it grittier and darker, texture mode is amazing on these. Try grain size around 80 to 160 and flux around 10 to 25. That gives you movement and chewiness. Now the main placement rule. The reversed splash must end exactly on the target hit. Not near it, not close enough. Exactly on it. So if you're aiming at the snare on 4, drag the reversed clip so its endpoint hits that snare. Typical lengths, 1/8 or 1/4 bar for subtle roll-ins, half a bar for that classic pre-snare inhale, and a full bar for pre-drop drama. A really common DNB move is placing the reverse splash from bar 15.3 to bar 16.1, right before 16-bar change. It's a perfect little section marker that doesn't require extra drums. Step 6. Shape it like a fill, not a wash. Now we treat this like a deliberate event. Start with auto filter. Use a high pass, 12 dB or 24 dB if you need aggressive cleanup. Here's a great tension trick. Automate the cutoff downward toward the hit. For example, start around 1.2K and sweep down toward 300 Hz as it approaches the snare. It creates that sucking, vacuum feeling. Add a little resonance, like 10 to 20%, to emphasize the motion. Then utility for width control. You can go wide, like 120 to 160%, because wide splashes are lush. But if it starts fighting the snare transient, automate width back toward 100% right at the impact. Also, do a quick mono check occasionally. Set utility width to 0% for a second. If your splash disappears, you're relying too much on stereo tricks. In that case, keep the low mids more mono and put your width mostly in the highs. Add a compressor or glue compressor to tame peaks. Ratio around 2:1, attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release auto or around 100 to 200 ms. You're not trying to squash it. You just want 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction on the loudest swell so it sits in the groove. Optional but super powerful. Gate for rhythmic choppiness. If you want the reverse to chatter, like spring shrapnel, put a gate on it. And for an advanced move, turn on sidechain for the gate and feed it a tight 16th hat or rim pattern. Now your inhale stutters in perfect sync with the groove without you slicing auto. Step 7. Sidechain it to the snare or kick for DNB cleanliness. This is the difference between cool effect and why did my snare get smaller. Put a compressor on the reverse splash track. Enable sidechain. Choose your snare track or a kick and snare group. Ratio around 4:1. Attack fast, like 1 to 5 ms. Release 80 to 160 ns. Then set threshold so the reverse dips right at the hit. The psychological effect is huge. It feels like the reverse funnels into the snare instead of sitting on top of it. Now let's talk quick arrangement use cases, because this is where it becomes a real production tool. 1. Rolling turnaround. Keep it short, 1/8 to 1/4 bar. Place it before the snare on 4 and high pass hard, like 700 Hz and up. It's more of a flicker than a big sweep. 2. Jungle snare lead-in. Use a half bar reverse. Push resonator and erosion a bit more. Auto pan gently. Amount around 15 to 25%. Ray at 1/8. Now it feels like old school hardware ear candy. 3. Pre-drop vacuum. Use a 1 bar reverse. Automate your filter down. Increase saturator drive toward the drop, and sidechain hard to the kick right when the drop hits. That keeps the slam clean. Advanced layering idea. 2-stage reverse. Make a short one, like 1/16 to 1/8. for immediate snap into the snare, then a long one, half a bar to a bar, for background pull. Blend them quietly together. The short one gives articulation. The long one gives momentum. Together they feel expensive. Another advanced trick, the negative pre-delay illusion. Even if your clip ends exactly on the snare, try nudging track delay plus or minus 5 to 15 milliseconds. Tiny offsets can feel more hardware than more saturation, because reel gear is never perfectly aligned. If your reverse ends too soft and you want it to feel like it connects to the impact, do a controlled transient reintroduction. Make a tiny 5 to 15 millisecond noise tick, like operator noise or a tiny hat. High pass it hard, like 2 to 5 kHz, and place it exactly on the hit at a very low level. It shouldn't replace the snare. It just makes the reverse feel like it locks onto the snare. And if the reverse gets harsh, de-dress it like a vocal. Use multiband dynamics. Focus on the high band around 6 to 10 kHz, and compress just that band with fast attack and medium release. Keep the excitement, lose the sandpaper. Common mistakes to avoid. Don't leave the transient in before reversing, or you'll get a weird backwards click at the start. Don't leave low end in the tail, because it will fight your kick and sub immediately. High pass aggressively. Don't over warp if it gets facey. Try Complex Pro or, if timing allows, turn warp off. Don't make it too long. Indeed NB, fills should be surgical, and don't skip sidechain, unless you intentionally want the reverse to smear into the snare for a special effect. Now a quick practice assignment to lock this in. Set your project to 174 BPM. Program a basic two-step, kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4. Create one reverse spring splash that ends exactly on snare 4. Make 3 variations. Variation A, 1/8 bar, right and wide, high pass around 1 kHz. Variation B, half bar, gritty, with erosion and saturator doing more work. Variation C, 1 bar pre-drop style, with filter automation and stronger sidechain. Resample each version and place them at bar 8, bar 16, and bar 32. Then listen to the loop in mono for a moment. The snare transient should still be dominant. This audio version is shortened for playback.